Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hour three of the Eric Ainge Show coming at you live from Papa Murphy's right here, Cedar Bluff, Middlebrook Pike. It's where we're at today in the Kroger Shopping Center. But there's 11 locations of Papa Murphy's here in the Knoxville area. No matter where you're at, where you're listening, there's one close to you. And you can go into any of the Knoxville area locations of Papa Murphy's for the rest of the day. Mention the Eric Ainge Show. And with your pizza purchase, they'll give you a free canister of the fresh made cookie dough, chocolate chip cookie dough.
Really?
And it makes the best, most underrated chocolate chip cookie ever is a Papa Murphy's cookie that you take home, you bake it, you can make it just as soft as you want it. They're phenomenal. So all you gotta do is go, when you go buy your pizza today, go in there, buy pizza, and say, hey, I came because of the Eric Ainge Show, and they'll throw a free cookie dough at you.
And you should come right now because they have pizza samples inside, and there's nothing that gets me out better than pizza samples.
Yeah, and we're having to make a cowboy, yeah.
Yeah, Jesse Smithy said that's what to go to, and so she said,
we're going to try it.
Coming right up. All right, it's time to play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, because it is an Axe Throw Thursday. Smoky Mountain Axe House brings you Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, smaxes.com. Great fun in the Midland Shopping Center in Alcoa, smaxes.com to book your lane. We're taking Kelly's dad there for his birthday coming up here in a couple weeks. It's going to be fun. All right, original three states today. Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Man faces charge in machete assault. Man faces charge in machete assault.
Mm.
Did this happen in Florida, gosh, Alabama, or Georgia?
I mean, where do you...
Danny Trejo, nowhere to be found.
Yeah, where do you need a machete? I know you can buy them at the place with all the knives.
Knife works.
Yeah, I know. They have the giant ones there.
Yeah.
So we could have thrown Tennessee in this one. But I'm gonna say Florida. You know, you're hacking through. I mean, I'm going to say Florida.
Joel.
Yeah, I'll go Florida.
Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia.
What number does he wear?
A man attacks an Athens Clark County police officer with a machete before he was shot and will be charged with aggravated assault.
Yeah, obviously.
Salvador Salazar remains in an Athens hospital in serious condition, but the warrant for his arrest was turned over to the Clark County Sheriff's Office, according to the GBI. The shooting occurred shortly before 5 o'clock Saturday. He didn't even get to watch the game. When police were dispatched to a domestic violence incident at University Gardens Apartments, when police arrived, authorities said they were confronted with a man with a machete. Quote, the subject ignored commands from the officer to drop the machete and attacked one of the officers. The officer fired his gun, striking the man, as he should have. Gun covers machete every time, my friend. Gun covers machete.
Yeah, I mean,
every time.
It's it said don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
He didn't.
He brought a machete. Guess what? Gun still wins.
Florida, Alabama. Yeah,
so you never told me what number, but that's okay.
Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Residents told to kill immediately invasive fish that can live on land.
They have these in Maryland and the D.C. area, too.
Officials instruct residents to kill immediately invasive fish that can live on land. Did this happen in Florida, Alabama,
man,
or Georgia?
What is the fish called? I'm curious because I know it's something head.
Northern snakehead fish.
Snakehead, yeah. See, the snakehead fish. Yes. Yeah, they have those in the D.C. area, too. This is a shoot-to-kill situation for sure. When I think shoot-to-kill, this is going to be Alabama.
When I think shoot-to-kill, I think Alabama. All right. Joel Silverberg.
Shoot the hostage.
I'll guess Florida.
Gwinnett County, Georgia.
Really?
Yeah.
Snakeheads. You don't want the snakeheads anywhere. You got to shoot to kill.
Georgia wildlife officials said an invasive species of fish that can live on land has been found in the state for the first time ever. Georgia Department of Natural Resources says the invasive northern snakehead fish has been found in Georgia waters. The release said an angler reported catching some in a pond on private property in Gwinnett County this month. Georgia DNR gave guidelines for what to do if you find a snakehead. One, do not release it. Two, kill it immediately and freeze it because they can survive on land. Three, if possible, take pictures of the fish, including close-ups of its mouth, fins, and tail. Four, note where it's caught. Five, immediately report it to GDNR. All right, last one.
Snakehead fish, man.
Florida, Alabama.
They hop around on land and they live for a few days at a time.
That's terrifying. Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Man accused of baiting gator to bite him and force-feeding it a beer. Man accused of baiting gator and force-feeding it a beer.
Come on, you won't bite me.
Did this happen in Florida, Alabama, or Georgia?
Was this an underage gator?
It doesn't
say. Because that to me matters. If this is like an old head gator, then it's probably not the first beer.
It does not say
that it's had.
How old the gator was.
I would. This would be like even I would think that's incredibly cruel if you forced a baby gator to drink a beer. I mean that's not cool.
Is that like forcing a puppy to drink a beer?
But if it's like I mean okay. Like imagine the gator that took Chubb's took Chubb's hand
in
Happy
in
Gilmore.
Yeah.
That gator with one eye. I mean, think how many
back when
beers.
He took his hand. You would
a lot of beers.
But
yeah.
Later when Happy got him.
Yeah. Well, he was a full grown adult when he got Chubb's hand. But that's neither here nor there. Florida alligators, Florida.
Joel.
Yeah, Florida.
I thought you guys might think that I was trying to double cross you with the alligator, but it is indeed Palm City, Florida. It was. Here's the great part of this headline. It was all caught on Snapchat. A Florida man is seen enticing a gator to bite him in the arm. After the reptile takes a nip, the man pours a can of Coors Light into its mouth. 27-year-old Timothy Kepke in the video, according to Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation, said they received a complaint about the social media video on August 26th and watched it. The alligator is young enough to be held, and it didn't take too kindly to the beer being poured in its mouth.
Uncool.
And thrashing about.
Uncool.
Don't waste a beer on it. I mean, don't waste a
life with a guy like that. Let's just go ahead and put him in the hole.
Dig a hole, put him in it.
Some people, the few breaths they take of our good air is a few breaths too many.
Kepke told officers that his friend caught the reptile with his bare hands a few months prior while out on a boat. Kepke said he had had a few beers but wasn't drunk. That's Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented by Smoky Mountain Axe House, smaxes.com. You get the whole thing.
That's so much fun. I have my own axe. My high score is 50. If you go over there, Thursday through Sunday is when they're open. You can book Monday through Wednesday the private your own. You can book an event. You can have your people go over there, do whatever. My high score is 50. So if you go over there and you get your axe coach And you start throwing. See if you can beat my high score.
Birthdays, date night, no matter what. It's a fun, family-friendly environment. No alcohol served there, so you don't have to worry about that. The axe coaches in every lane make sure that it's safe for you and that you have fun doing it. You're not going to go and fail and just fail for an hour. They're going to teach you the best ways, and everybody
ends up sticking some. Not everyone's just going to be getting 50s.
Yeah.
But everyone will be sticking it over there. Also, by the way, you mentioned birthdays.
Yeah.
Want to wish a happy birthday to Food City executive, my boy Mickey Blazer.
Yeah.
It's Mickey's birthday today, so want to wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mickey. Welcome
happy
back.
Happy birthday, Mickey.
656-9900 if you want to join us. We'll take some of your phone calls coming up on the other side. It's broadcast live from here at Papa Murphy's on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
You're listening to The Eric Gaines Show with Brian Rice on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. Again, if you miss any of our show or any of our shows here on The Animal, you can podcast each and every one of them. You can subscribe on iTunes. There's a lot of different ways to get it. You can get it right direct from our app, from the Sports Animal app. Or you can go to the website, sportsradiownml.com, and you can check it out there. Again, everything done and podcasted thanks to our awesome producers that we have over here on The Animal.
Absolutely. All right, 656-9900. Zach is up first. Zach, Welcome in to the EA show live from Papa Murphy's.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good. Thanks for holding, man.
All right, no problem. Mississippi State being able to pick and choose when they suspend their players, is that a common thing? And if not, what transpired for them to be able to do that?
It was the number of players and the number of games to prevent Mississippi State from having a total loss season. They allowed them to space those out over the course of the year. But they're all going to be available for Tennessee, reportedly. They don't ever announce who is and isn't available until the day of the game. But it was a situation with the number of guys. It has happened before, but when teams have had to suspend more than five or six guys for a game or two or more, the NCAA has allowed them to space that out over the first X number of games and with as many guys and with as many games. That's what they let them do here.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a very unique experience, or a very unique situation, but typically I think the number's about five when you are suspending five or more players. They allow you to space that out over the first few games, and with them being eight, it's something else they did. I don't love it, but you know what? They're the ones that have to deal with it, and they've been able to overcome it so far. And again, all of them are expected to play against Tennessee on Saturday. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. And it's time, Eric, for our hour number three giveaway for a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's. Mention they have some samples here, so you should be coming out here.
Yeah, she said it'll be ready in just a few minutes.
Yeah, ours will be ready in just a minute, but they've got samples in there right now. But the next person to come up to us here at the Papa Murphy's Cedar Bluff and Middleburg Pike next to Kroger and says, when Tennessee is on the road, take Papa Murphy's home. When Tennessee is on the road, take Papa Murphy's home, gets a $25 gift card.
It's that easy.
That's
and if you walk race. And if you walk up here, we can remind you what you need to say.
Yeah.
It's foolproof.
When Tennessee is on the road, take Papa Murphy's home is what you need to say. You come up, and if we're talking, say it to Bad Take Andy, he'll give us the thumbs up, and I'll hand you this gift card.
Rock and roll.
All right, 656-9900, if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Tennessee's offensive line is a little beat up. You had Riley Locklear.
Pretty normal, but keep going.
You had Riley Locklear in concussion protocol, it appears, and was not practicing yesterday. And Chris Sakabrahine was out there with a starting unit yesterday with a little bit of shuffle on the offensive line. That would be three true freshmen in the primary rotation at offensive line. Not ideal.
No, that's not ideal, especially when you're talking. And I'll bet if you go back and watch the game last week against Georgia, I'll bet a lot of our tackles for loss that we gave up, again, we gave up 11 tackles behind the line of scrimmage in that game. I'll bet a lot of them are due to communication situations or blunders between our offensive linemen. Anytime you get, I mean, the word continuity gets thrown out there all the time. The biggest reason that that matters is because you eliminate the negative plays when everybody knows what everybody's doing and everyone's on the same page. As soon as you start plug and playing more guys, it's just common sense. They're not going to communicate, and they're not going to understand each other as well, and that turns into tackles for loss. So we can't have that this weekend. The plan needs to be simple enough for those boys to be able to communicate effectively.
How difficult is it to overcome some of those injuries and communication issues? Because these guys are physically talented enough to get it done, but the communication's the biggest part of it, isn't it?
It is, and you know, it's not like these guys, I mean, when you look at the five guys, whoever the first five are that we trot out there, it's not going to be any of their first time playing.
That's true.
So they've played before. At this point, you're in week seven and game six of the season. So, and that it doesn't include all of the other time that you've had, in whether it be spring practice or whether it be looking at what we got going on right now. And, yeah, give it to him.
He all right, we got our gift card.
There you go. That's good stuff.
We
right
got
there.
Our gift card. Come grab it.
But when you're looking at the offensive line and how they communicate with each other, and what they need to do. You're looking at simplifying the game plan a little bit. You know, we did, but it's going to be simplified anyway because of Brian Maurer. So there should be some pretty simple communication that you can have on those plays. You know, it's down and arounds, zone schemes. For the most part, that's a lot of what we're doing. I would imagine we're going to have some sort of wrinkle. But again, it's easier with a freshman quarterback to run the RPOs and give him one person to look at and then snap the ball, call the run, and try to, you know, allow him to make you right throwing to your veteran receivers and tight ends on the RPOs than it is to make him do what they were having Jarrett do, which is walk up to the line of scrimmage and look at the defense and hard count them and then change the play or change the side and do all that. You know, Maurer will do that someday, but when you're a freshman, it's just, you just call the run, throw the RPO tag on it, and you go play football. These guys are not good enough up front. Different than last week, these guys are not like just so good in their defensive line and linebackers that we've got to be able to. I mean, like last week was a tough challenge physically. I believe we're more matched up for success against Mississippi State up front. So if you just assume the plan's going to be simple, then, and these guys can just dig their cleats and dig their knuckles in the ground and fire off the football, we should have some success running the football. A lot of teams have had success running the football against Mississippi State.
By the way, congratulations to Pat for being the first here in person with the...
He didn't need any help either. He just nailed it.
He walked up and said it exactly.
Just
the bat
nailed it.
A shout out to Shane and John Wilkerson for texting it in.
Yeah.
But she had to be here in person. Sorry.
I'll hook John up with the pizza.
Those are the rules. Yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
Could hook Wilkerson up.
They have pizza samples here at Papa Murphy's, so come in and check them out. Right now, they have a Supreme in there and pepperoni. They're both fantastic. And then we're getting the Cowboy here coming up in just a few moments. 656-9900 if you want to join us on the Air Kane Show. There's one more stat. We've spent a lot of time talking about stats this morning. There's one more stat that's not great for Tennessee. Going to tell you what that is coming up on the other side, but how Tennessee can change it as well. So come back to Papa Murphy's on FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Kane Show on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Today broadcasting here for another 20 minutes or so from Papa Murphy's, Cedar Bluff and Middlebrook Pike at the Kroger Shopping Center. But again, at all 11 Knoxville area Papa Murphy's. For the rest of the day, when you go in and you purchase your pizza, you can mention the Eric Kane Show and they'll give you a free pack of cookie dough. Comes in a little plastic bowl. I don't know, what do you call it? Container?
Yeah.
They'll give you a container of the best cookie dough ever. It really is.
Not too shabby.
I gave one to my neighbor buddy, Rylan. He was trying to, the kids like come over and knock on the door and they're like, can Eric play? Even though the kids are gone. So I was, we were down there shooting hoops and I brought some cookies and he said, this is the best cookie I've ever had. And Rylan loves him some sweets. So you can get a free container of cookie dough when you mention the Eric Kane Show with your pizza purchase for the rest of the day.
You should do that. 656-9900 if you want to join us. All right, Ainge, I teased this stat all day. Tennessee is the only Power 5 team left that does not have a win over an FBS program.
I know.
Tennessee's only win.
That sucks.
Is over FCS.
See you, Ben Miller.
That's not great.
No, that's not great, Bob.
Particularly when you have in front of you Mississippi State, who Tennessee's going to have a shot at, but then Alabama, then South Carolina, and then UAB. So you're going to get there, but that was not an ideal situation to be put in. Jeremy Pruitt officially named Brian Maurer the starting quarterback during his post-practice press conference yesterday and mentioned it again on fall calls. It's no surprise, but... earn the spot based on what he did last week?
I'm hoping that he takes the next step. You know, the Patrick Brown did the article that we talked about, the how have guys done in their first game as a starter.
Yep.
I'd be curious if there if someone looked up how everybody did in their second game as the starter, because I know I made you bring up mine, but my second game as the starter, we went and we beat a top five Georgia team on the road. I don't know what Casey's or what Peyton's game two was as a starter or anything like that, but you should get better, right? If they always say the old saying is, you know, the most improvement is from game one to game two. Well, Georgia was game one, so Mississippi State is game two, and they're not as good as Georgia. So for all the reasons in the world, you know, Maurer should take a step forward, even if the step he takes is playing like he did in the first half for the whole football game.
Yeah.
Because if we're being honest, Brian, he played good in the first half. He did not play good in the second half. He made a couple good throws. Georgia made it really hard on us. It's not all his fault that he didn't play well. But we need, like we said this morning, it needs to be a 60-minute football game if we're going to win this football game. We got to play for 60 minutes.
That's going to be the key, is how well can you play and how can you sustain it? And the defense is going to be a part of that. The offensive line is going to be a part of that. But ultimately, you're going to have to run the football because you're going to have to control the clock better than you did on Saturday. That was something. This defense is going to get worn down at the end of the games all year long. That's going to happen with how few guys they have, particularly at linebacker now. The running game can help you control that.
It can. You know, and the other thing, we've talked about all these different stats all day long. I don't have it all formulated yet, but if you look at first down, I mean, obviously we know we've already done third down, so we know how important first and second down are. Tennessee this year has 112 plays on first down. Okay. For 567 yards, we average 5 yards per play on first down. That's pretty good, honestly. Our opponents in 129 plays average 6 yards per game. So you'd like to be a little better on defense, but we're doing well enough on first down overall. Running the football, though, it's not great. You know, it's passing the football that's actually kind of carried that stat. Tennessee this year on first down, running the football, we have 136 carries overall. Sorry, take that back. 56 carries for Tennessee. I told you I didn't have it formulated, so I'm doing it as I speak. For 197 yards. So on first down, running the football, Tennessee only averages 3.5 yards per carry. But you can have as much of this pizza as you want.
And they've got samples of the other two inside.
Again, 56 carries on first down for the Vols this year, only averaging 3.5 yards per carry. On the flip side, our opponents have carried the ball 75 times on first and 10 for 373 yards, which is averaging 5 yards a carry on first down. So our defense has given up 5 yards a carry. I mean, you know, our opponents anyway, they're averaging 5 yards a carry. So that's a pretty big difference when you look at Tennessee only averaging 3.5 on first down running the ball and our opponents averaging 5 yards a carry on first down. Throwing the football on first down, we're throwing for 54%, 28 for 52, and we're averaging 7.1 yards per attempt. We've had 370 yards on first down throwing the football. That's pretty good because when you look at our opponents, they're only 35 for 53, so they're throwing for a higher percentage. They're throwing for 66% compared to our 54%, but they're only averaging 7.2 yards an attempt. So it's kind of a push. You know, they're completing 1 out of 10, you know, every 1 out of 10 balls. So that's 1 out of 10 drives where, you know, we're second and long and they're not. But you can get over it on that. Here's the big difference on first down for us. Because first down should be your best down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really should be. We've turned the ball over 3 times on first down. First down, that sucks. I mean, you do not want to turn the ball over on first down. And we've only scored 1 touchdown on first down. Our opponents have only turned it over twice, so they've turned it over 1 less time. They've scored 7 touchdowns on first down. So our defense definitely is, they're giving up way too many explosive plays, way too many touchdowns. on first and 10. You know, that should be, and you could, on the flip side, you could say, well, that's when the other team should play their best. Why isn't our offense doing better on first down, taking shots, scoring touchdowns? We need to continue to get better at that. We that just shows you right there. The other team runs the ball better against us. They throw the ball better than we do on first down. They score more than we do on first down. That's going to lend itself when you get to the third down numbers offensively, because we looked at Tennessee's defensive numbers and Mississippi State's defensive numbers. And the bottom line on that, the takeaway on that, on third and 1-6 on defense, Mississippi State, they give up a first down 48% of the time, just like Tennessee gives up a first down 48% of the time. When you look at Mississippi State on offense, though, offensively, Mississippi State is pretty darn good on third and 1-6 on offense. 58, right at 60% conversion rate on third and 1-6. So our defense gives up a first down 48% of the time. Mississippi State's offense gets a first down 58% of the time on third and 1-6. We've got our work cut out for us on third and 1-6 when we're on defense and they're on offense. And I'll give you the Tennessee offensive numbers. You would think third and 1-6, our offense is not great, right?
That's what I
would think. I'll continue to look at those numbers and give them to you here before we get off the air, because. And then Kaner's going to do a whole post on all these numbers.
All right, we'll come back, find out what we learned today, and wrap things up from here at Papa Murphy's. We're here at the corner of Cedar Bluff and Millbrook Pike. They have samples inside for you to try Papa Murphy's pizza, and then, of course, some great specials we'll tell you more about coming up. On the other side, it's the Air Cane Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Air Cane Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Brian Rice and myself, we have been broadcasting live today from one of the 11 Papa Murphy's locations here in East Tennessee, Knoxville, and surrounding areas. And you can take advantage of this awesome company, the awesome pizza. It's handmade by them. Dough is fresh. The cheese is shredded off of a block every day, and that's what they're doing. When they run out, they shred some more. It's not coming from a bag or from a freezer or anything like that. And when you mention the Air Cane Show today, for the rest of the day at any of the Papa Murphy's locations, they'll honor the with your pizza purchase of any size, they'll honor the mention the Ain Show, and you get a free cookie dough.
Shane's going to take advantage of that coming up here a little
yeah.
later today.
Absolutely. So we mentioned before we get anybody on here, yeah. we've gone through a bunch of the numbers, and Kaner's going to put it up later at some point so people can actually look at all this, because mm-hmm. it's probably semi hard to follow on the radio. But the only one we haven't done yet is Tennessee's offense on third down. You know, we went through on defense, we went through Mississippi State, and Tennessee offensively on third and 1-3 this year, guess what we are? Believe it or not.
Third and 1-3, they're probably 70%.
It's 12 for 19. I mean, they're doing well. On third and 4-6, we drop down to 4 for 13. But overall, on third and 1-6, we're 16 out of 32, which is 50%, compared to Mississippi State's offense, which was at 58%. So here's the big kicker, and we actually have done a little better on it than I thought and than Mississippi State did offensively. But you're looking right here at Tennessee, Mississippi State on defense. We went through third and 7+. Mississippi State, when they're on defense, they only give up a first down 16% of the time. Five teams are 5 for 30 on third and 7+. Tennessee on offense is 10 out of 32. So they're only 2 for 9 on third and 7-9, but they're 8 for 23 on third and 10+. So ultimately, that's 10 out of 32 on third and 7+ for a 31% conversion rate. That's pretty dang good. And that makes me feel a little bit better that if we do get a few of these third and longs against Mississippi State, although they're great on defense, again, they're third and 7+, They're only giving up a first down 16% of the time, but we're converting at a 31%. So that's pretty good. That makes me feel better about that. And then Mississippi State on defense on 3rd and 1-6, they're giving up a first down 48% of the time, and we're converting at a 50% rate. So there's some opportunities on third down, believe it or not. As good as this team is, when you just look at their third down defense overall, they're one of the better defensive football teams in the league.
Yeah.
From a percentage standpoint. But when you look at the actual numbers where they're great, we actually are a little better than I thought. And where they're susceptible for success, we're right on par with anybody else in that range. So that makes me feel better about it. But bottom line is, if it's 3rd and 7+ against this team, somewhere between that 16% and 31% is probably where they'll fall, which is right where they did against Georgia, 3 out of 10. You know, it's probably not going to be any better than that against Mississippi State. So we got to stay out of those 3rd and longs when we're on offense.
Josh Ward joins us. Sports 180 is coming up next. Josh, we've done a deep dive in the numbers today. Really closer between Tennessee and Mississippi State. The Vols are going to have to find the little something to get over the hump, though.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I think that's where the turnover part of the conversation can often come in. Tennessee just has to be better there. Everybody would agree with that, I'm sure. But, this is a game where Tennessee's at home, and Jeremy Pruitt has said they've got to show that this progress that he's talked about is really there, and the only way to do that is to go win a football game.
Tennessee, now down to a 6-point underdog, depending on where you find it today. Too high, too low, or about right in your mind?
Well, I would have expected it to be lower a little bit, so I guess my answer would be too high, but I overall get why it's there. I would have said something like Mississippi State by 4, so not a huge difference there.
The opportunity is going to be there for them to win on Saturday and become the last team in the Power 5 to pick up a win over a FBS opponent. That's a pretty unbelievable stat at this point in the year, that Tennessee is the only one.
It's remarkable. Tennessee has 6 straight losses to FBS teams going back to last season, with the losses to Missouri and Vanderbilt to close out the year. And, I can't believe we're in this position. Now, I thought that we would be a week ago. I thought that we would be a couple weeks ago. But going into the season, I never considered the idea that Georgia State could beat Tennessee. The only question there was, would Tennessee cover a line that was, somewhere in the mid-20s? And yeah. We know the answer to that one. I did pick Tennessee to beat BYU, and Tennessee led with less than a minute to go, and it could have taken care of business there, and it didn't. And then you know what's happened since then. So it's remarkable the position Tennessee's in, and the longer this conversation takes, the more we talk about Tennessee needing to show that it can win and figure out how to win and all those different things. And the only way to do that is to go win a game, especially with Bama coming up next. You guys have talked about it. Everybody has. Tennessee they have to win this week. There is no moral victory at home against Mississippi State.
What do you guys have coming up on Sports 180 next?
Yeah, we'll talk more about it. Tennessee and Mississippi State and what the Vols try to do. Brian Maurer coming up on Saturday. And we'll cover a little NFL with a game coming up tonight. So a lot to talk about in the sports world. We'll do that on Sports 180.
Josh, we appreciate it. We'll be listening. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
All right, Eric, thanks big time to Papa Murphy's for having us
out
here.
Yeah, absolutely,
today.
Man. Love when they have us come out.
Remember, when Tennessee's on the road, take Papa Murphy's home on game day. Visit papamurphys.com and enter FBBOGO at checkout. FBBOGO at checkout to get a buy one, get one free pizza. Some exclusions apply. It's equal or lesser value for the free pizza. It is delicious. Jesse Smithy recommended the Cowboy. We had him make the Cowboy. And
it was awesome.
It's fantastic. And you can follow Papa Murphy's Knoxville on Twitter. Just launched the account, so it's new. So give him a follow, at Pizza Knox.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you tomorrow at Rusty Wall's Kia.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
Looking forward to it. Bad Take, thank you. Joel, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Eric Haines Show, Sports Radio, WNML.